Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Fringe Show Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by McCorne Maja. Before we get into the news, a quick word from our sponsor, Hideco Energy. Hideco Energy says, are you tired of skyrocketing electricity bills and the new phenomenon of load reduction? Hideco Energy, South Africa's trusted tier one premium solar and backup power solution supplier with over 100 years of trading experience and the backing of a publicly listed company. Hideco Energy brings you the best quality international products to power your home or business reliably. From 3 kilowatt single phase systems to 250 kilowatt three phase solutions, we've got options for every need. And here's the best part. We offer unbeatable financing and rent-to-own packages designed to lower the barriers to saving money, cutting electricity costs, and ensuring power stability regardless of what's happening at Eskom. Right now, we're thrilled to offer Daily Friend listeners an exclusive promotion. Book a free business or household audit, and we'll show you how to put money back in your pocket without hefty upfront costs. Reach out to us at sales@hidecoenergy.co.za via email or call us on 011-447-9864. Hideco Energy, sustainable power and storage solutions provider. All right, let's get into the first news story of today. And this is about President Cyril Ramaphosa's succession battle. So President Cyril Ramaphosa is not going to be standing for another term of leadership of the ANC. And you can already see all of the knives coming out in the fight to replace him. Now, one of the people who has been flagged as a potential contender for replacing Ramaphosa is Fikile Mbalula. He's been opposed, however, within the party by many people. And one of the ways that this battle is playing out at the moment is that Mbalula has been pushing internally for the disbandment of the Gauteng leadership of the ANC as well as the KZN leadership of the ANC. The official reason for this policy is because these two provinces performed very poorly in the election, which is true and fair enough. But one suspects that the real reason may be something more to do with their opposition to any candidate to his assuming the leadership of the ANC. So this, after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and threats that this might happen, it went to an ANC's National Executive Committee meeting, which Fikile Mbalula described as a discussion in an atmosphere of unity and mutual respect. Apparently, the anonymous sources, which however talked to the media, suggested that this was in fact not at all a fair description of the events, and that people were swearing at each other and people were getting very excited at each other during the discussion. Ultimately, it seems like they didn't decide to make a firm decision one way or the other. They decided to not disband it, but also not completely leave them alone. They've decided they're going to reconfigure and reinforce the provincial executives of those two provinces by bringing in supposed heavyweights. And some names who were mentioned are people like Batabili Dlamini and Becky Cele. But those are your heavyweights. I'm a little bit worried what your lightweights would be. Apparently, at one point, as Mbalula pushed for the disbandment, he was sworn at by another member of the National Executive Committee, and they attacked him for things he did during the election, such as showing up to an election manifesto campaign in an armored Mercedes G-Wagon, as well as going to the ANC's 113th birthday celebrations in Cape Town on a luxury yacht to get to Robben Island. Interesting stuff. It looks like the sort of Panyazala Sufi faction, which seems to be the main opponents of Mbalula, have, I would say, something of an upper hand. But I don't know. What does this actually mean, McCorne? Do you think the ANC is actually going to take apart these provincial executives, disband them in practice, even if not in word?
Sure, Nick. I think that's the factional wars in the ANC. Our fingerprints are all over this, because when they're asking about what happened to their support in KZN and in Gauteng, take a look at the provinces. I mean, they both declined tremendously. KZN used to be a place where families, Durban specifically, used to be a place where families go for vacations. And now Cape Town has almost taken a good share of that tourism chunk that used to go to KZN. The same can be said about Gauteng. It's been in decline for a long time. And yet the ANC is sort of looking for ideas or people to point fingers at. And even more so on KZN specifically, let's not forget that Jacob Zuma has basically done the same thing to the ANC that he did to the IFP when the ANC took power from the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal, I think years ago now, before 2009. So this idea that now, like, people must be blamed for the decline in support specifically in KwaZulu-Natal just seems to me like the Secretary General Mbalula looking to bolster his power and to undermine those leaders, chairpersons of the PECs in Gauteng and in KwaZulu-Natal. So you're right, there were three options on the table, allegedly. One was to recall the leaders of these provinces, the chairpersons, which includes Banyaza Lusufi in Gauteng. And the second one was to reconfigure or reinforce. I've seen articles written on this about whether the ANC constitution actually provides or gives the NEC enough powers to go forth with these reinforcements. And then the third one was to disband. I think these are all targeted at Lusufi because him and Balula have been touted as, you know, the two front runners in the succession battle, as this article has been titled. But it does seem to me like Lusufi is the target of these reinforcements and reforms. And I think it is a bad look for him to now have to be babysat by these so-called heavyweights, Bathabile Dlamini, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, who unfortunately is not well. I cannot imagine a greater punishment than having to be supervised for your poor performance than by these two. But I do think that the Gauteng ANC is its weakest, and so too is the province in its performance and its contribution to the economy. And so, but I do think that this is just Fikile Mbalula looking to undermine Banyaza in disguise, because he should take the blame for some of the ANC's performance across the country.
I last read the ANC's constitution back in 2019, so it's been a while. But my impressions from that document is that it leaves a lot of room to be desired for interpretation, and it's often quite sort of vague on points and things. So, you know, when people make sort of legalistic charges against what the ANC's NEC can and cannot do, I don't know if that's really actually a real thing, because I think you could basically do whatever you want if you manage to get the NEC on side on an issue. But yeah, it is interesting to see how these sides are shaping up, and indeed what the platforms of them will be. It does seem to me like Mbalula is leaning towards a more, I guess you could call it, pro-GNU version of the ANC. He has been much more circumspect in his comments about the ANC after the election. He's talked about renewing the party and not being arrogant and things like that, whereas Banyaza Lusufi seems to think that the ANC must become like MK to win MK voters back, which I think would ultimately lead the party and the country to disaster. Any thoughts on those takes?
I take the attempts or even the talk of reform at face value. One of the recurring themes in the SG statements is of unity, you know, which to me seems to mean not ruffling the feathers too much. And unless there's a big overhaul of ANC leadership, I don't see actual reform taking place. And subsequently, I don't see the places where the ANC is governing improving, because they don't want to upset, you know, either the NEC or ANC members, or just like the current status quo and how things are being run in the party. And so for as long as this unity is being prioritized over things like service delivery, over things like competent leadership, then I really can't take that talk of reform or even attitude or posturing towards reform seriously.
No, I think that's a really good point. I think this was the great undoing of Ramaphosa's presidency, that despite being very powerful in many ways within the country, within the party, he chose this, as you say, unity at every single opportunity. And what's happened is the ANC has begun to fall apart very rapidly under his watch. And maybe it will keep falling apart if they keep prioritizing so-called unity. In fact, it seems like the more the ANC prioritizes unity, the less of it they get. Which is something to keep an eye on. Anyway, we will obviously keep covering this as the knives are increasingly sharpened in the lead up to that internal fight inside the ANC, and some of the other parties as well. I think are also going to have lots of internal shenanigans going forward. Okay. this one, we weren't originally going to include this in the show, but then we got to talking about this, and you reminded me of some really great instances of this. So Kenny Kunene is being charged with a defamation case by Julius Malema from the EFF after Kunene made reference at a rally last year to claims that Malema was working for an alleged cigarette smuggler and also had gotten drugs from quote-unquote Nigerians. Malema has alleged that these claims about him were vexatious, spurious, misplaced, and untrue. However, Kunene says that everything he said was fair comment and simply taking on board things that have been written widely in the public space about Malema. We were just talking about this, and it's kind of funny to see Julius getting so upset that he's decided to go for a legal challenge here, a defamation case, considering the number of crazy things he said about a variety of politicians over the years, not least Helen Ziller, who I was thinking back to, I think it was 2012, he referred to one of her all-male cabinets in the Western Cape as being her concubines, which was a particularly wild phase in South African politics. What do you make of the story?
You're right. He has insulted everyone, including the president's parents. He implied way back in the day that the accuser of former President Jacob Zuma's, she had accused him of rape, that he implied that she had enjoyed it. So he has made not just unsavoring, but downright repugnant statements about people. And yet today, somehow his feelings are touched by it being suggested that he is somehow using drugs and he's being linked to some unsavory Nigerian drug dealers and this cigarette smuggler, which it's been sort of mooted in public a lot that, you know, the EFF is being funded by this Mazoni person. Sorry, I may be saying their name wrong. But yeah, it is quite funny that Julius Malema is now finds what quite benign statements compared to some of the things he said about other people to be so insulting as that he should take them to court for them. And let's not forget that Kenny Kunene was one of the founders of the EFF right from the beginning. So my bet is on Kenny knowing a lot more than the rest of us do in the public, because he joined the EFF, but he didn't stay too long. He left quite quickly after that party was formed. But still, it is amusing that today Julius Malema has feelings that he needs protection from the court because of like a few, honestly, compared to what he said about others, quite mild insults levied at him.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he thinks that finally he can be on the other side of the page, for example, and actually maybe get someone in trouble for something they said about him rather than the other way around, where he's, you know, every now and again had to issue apologies or stop saying things or all that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, not a terribly important story, but I think it does speak to something of the fact that, you know, this is an example of why the EFF seems to be in a bit of trouble right now, is that Malema just kind of seems drifting in the wind. I mean, you know, never mind about whether he was actually upset about this. I'm sure he was. But this is just not a great thing to spend your time and money on right now, I don't think, particularly when the party seems to be crumbling around you.
No, you're right. There seems to be like a focal point for the EFF that's lacking, like where to dedicate their resources and where to dedicate their public statements and their efforts towards, which I would say maybe something similar to what the ANC is doing, which is searching through its conscience to find what went wrong in its 2025 performance. The EFF should be like endeavor to do more of that, and also find like strengthening people within the EFF to come and be leaders eventually. These selective conferences, these sham elective conferences that the EFF keeps hosting are not going to last very long. The EFF has a very educated and active base. Those people are not going to stomach these selective conferences for much longer. So they should really like focus on raising leaders that in the future will be ready to take up the mantle when Julius Malema eventually leaves and the rest of the executive committee leaves.
I think that's a great point, because that's one of the competitive advantages that the EFF has over MK, right? They have similar sort of radical far-left politics to MK. But in MK, there's not even the pretense of internal democracy. There's not even a sham election. There's just no elections. You just, you know, Ubaba tells you what you're going to do. At least in the EFF, in theory, there's a space to debate things. And in fact, by leaning away from that, which seems to be what Malema is doing now, he's probably hobbling the party going forward. Okay, I think we are out of time, so thank you very much for listening. We hope you found the show interesting. Please do check out our sponsor. And also, if you enjoy our shows, please do like the videos. Please leave us positive reviews on the podcast apps. And please do like us, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thank you very much, everyone, and have a wonderful day. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.